And the Bible teaches salvation in the simplest of terms and forms that we can look at through Scripture. And I'll do my best to just get right to the meat of the message. In Isaiah chapter 45, the words of the Lord Himself speaking. The people needed encouragement. They needed help. They couldn't save themselves. They were at a place that they couldn't bring themselves out of what they were into. And the Lord spoke this one verse. It's broken off as a verse, as the Bible translators translated it out, broke this one phrase off that I'm looking at tonight. But boy, it is a golden nugget in the Word of God. In verse 22 of Isaiah 45, right in the middle of your Bible, just about, just past the midpoint, it's easy to find, Isaiah 45, 22. The Word of the Lord says, now this is the Lord speaking, look unto me and be ye what? Be ye saved. Why? Because all the ends of the earth, everybody needs it. And He said, for I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I think that He breaks salvation down in the simplest of terms, and I can say with all assurance that God is concerned about us knowing that we are saved. And in this passage, He talks about the certainty of salvation. Be ye saved. He didn't say you might be saved. He didn't say you could be saved. He said you can be saved and know that you're saved. You see, sometimes in this world that we're living in, that terminology is now fallen by the wayside. And some people say, well, to say that you're saved, it's out of date. Well, then I'm out of date. Because I'm more than a church member. I'm saved. I'm more than a person that prays occasionally. I'm saved. I did more than join a church. Glory to God. I got saved. I did more than give money to a church. Hallelujah. I got saved. I know that I'm saved. You see, you're only one of two categories of people. A lot of people think that when it comes to God looking down on individuals, that salvation is just one conglomerate and that everybody dies, we're all saved and we all go to the same place. But that's not true. You're either saved or lost. When they all boarded the Titanic, there was only one manifest that listed every passenger and crew member on board. They were all the same. But after that ship went down, there in the steamship room, there were only two categories, saved and lost. And at the end of your life, there will only be one of two categories. Either you're saved or you're lost. Be ye saved. How do you know that you're saved? I know I'm saved because of the Spirit that He gives to us. If you have not the Spirit, you're none of His. The birth that we have, the born again experience, is a birth of the Spirit. It takes the Spirit of the living God to save us. Not only that, I know that I'm saved because of the Scriptures. Jesus said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Thank God I'm not halfway saved or partway saved. I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I remember the time when I got saved. And if you're not careful, you can get so far from that experience. You need to remember the time the Lord saved your soul and took away the burden of sin and wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That'll keep you rejoicing all through this life and all the way to heaven, just to say, I know that I'm saved. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're saved tonight? Be saved. The certainty of salvation. Well, how do you get saved, preacher? Well, then he talks about the simplicity of salvation. He just said, look. Simple. Don't make it harder than what it is. Really, he's making a reference that goes back to the days of Moses when in Numbers 21, the people were being bitten with fiery serpents. And he told Moses to take this serpent that was made of brass and put it on a pole. And as they looked up, he said, all they have to do is look. And they can live. If you want to be saved, you have to look. You have to look. It's just that simple. If you don't want to be saved, God's not going to make you be saved. But if you'll look, I promise you'll find. The Lord is near. He's not way off. He'll hear your prayer and save your soul. And if you seek Him with all of your heart, I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, you'll find Him. I guess it was best portrayed years ago to me when a fellow stood up in a little country church I was preaching in, had a testimony. He'd only been saved for a few months. And after he'd gotten saved, his wife wanted to get him something to commemorate the fact that he'd been saved. So she went down to the Christian bookstore in their little town and she bought one of these crosses. It was a brass looking cross and they'd shined it up and she hung it over the doorway. And that gave them an opportunity to witness to everybody when they would ask about that cross on the back of it. She had put his name and inscribed the date that he had gotten saved. So everybody that left their home would see that cross. And he thought, what a wonderful, wonderful token of God's grace and a reminder to me of the day that I got saved. You do remember it, don't you? I mean, if it happened, you won't get over it. Glory to God. Well, thank God. He said, I would look at that. He said, if I passed through that door 100 times, he said, I'd weep. Every time to think what God did for me when he saved me. Well, after he'd been saved about 5 or 6 months, he hadn't missed a single service. Like one fellow said, well, you might be saved, but don't worry, you'll get over it. A lot of people do. I'm afraid they've gotten over it. I've not either, and I don't want to get over it. Thank God, there nothing stirs me anymore tonight than knowing that I'm saved. That's better than anything in this world. He loved going to church. He loved being with God's people. And he loved testifying of what the Lord did for him. He'd been a wretched man, done a lot of wrong things, and just so thankful that God saved him. Well, one Sunday morning, the pastor saw his wife there, noticed he wasn't there. Said, I'm worried about him. She said, you know, this is the first service he's missed since he got saved. Said, he's sick. He can't be here. And he said, oh my, we ought to have prayer for him. So the whole little country church there joined in prayer and had prayer for him. Little did they know that that gentleman was home and in his sickness he'd taken some medication and had fallen asleep. And when he awakened, the house was completely filled with smoke and he was overcome with smoke. He fell to his knees and was trying to crawl. And he said, preacher, it's the strangest thing that I had ever experienced. He said, I'd lived in that house for years. But he said, I was so confused, I couldn't find anything. I was just out of place. Nothing seemed like where it ought to be. And the more I scurried around, the more confused I got. And he said, finally, I thought, this is it. I want to see the Lord. And he said, I remember saying, Lord, thank you for saving me. And Lord, if you want me to live, you've got to help me. And he said, out of nowhere, that cross that they'd hung above their door, the flames apparently reflected off that cross. And something said, just crawl to that cross. And he said, I kept giving all of my strength and might that I could. And said, when I finally got under that cross, I reached out and felt the doorway and crawled to safety. They lost their whole house through that fire. But he said, thank God the cross brought me out of the fire. May I remind you, we were down and out. But glory be to God. One day we looked up and saw the cross. And there was a sweet voice from heaven. The voice of our Savior said, if you just get to the cross, I'll save you from the fire. I'll save you from the flames. I'll save your soul from hell. Just look and you can be saved. The certainty of salvation, the simplicity of salvation, and then the scope of salvation. All the ends of the earth. You better get away from that bunch that tells you just a few can be saved. I'm in the whosoever will club. You can't erase it. You can't take it out of the book. It's the teaching of the Word of God. This hyper-doctrine that's out there. That's trying to tell people there's certain numbers, and there's a lot of religions, a lot of doctrines that's teaching that. But I want to tell you something. It's always funny to me. They're the elect. They're the group. One denomination says there's 144,000, but they've outnumbered that 144,000 multiple times over now. I wonder if somebody miscounted in their denomination. This is not for 144,000. This is for whosoever will let him come. Whosoever is athirst, let him come. You'll find out that Jesus went into cities, and when he'd go into cities to start healing them, they would bring all of the sick from that city. Not one person did Jesus look to and not have compassion on and was not willing to save them or do miracles. And if there was no miracles, it was because the individuals had unbelief in their heart and they would not allow him to perform the miracles. I'm here to tell you, if you want to get saved, I don't care what anybody else has told you. If you want to get saved, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you so much he died for you. And the Bible teaches us plainly that those that come unto him, he'll in no wise cast them out. He'll not turn you aside or turn you away. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. It's not how long you've been lost, how far you've gone in sin. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. This isn't limited just Rubyville Church. It's not limited to one denomination. It's not limited to one doctrine. Thank God there is a universal church that has been bought and paid for with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder what people do with that passage of Scripture when John said, "And lo, I beheld a multitude which no man could number." Thank God there is a great group that's saved, that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Don't you ever let anybody tell you you can't be saved. Jesus said, you can. He's the final authority. You're not too old. I know you've been in sin and done a lot of things wrong. But God doesn't say one sinner is more deserving of hell than another. No, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all deserve hell. We all deserve to wind up in the lake of fire. He's not saying that you've done so much wrong that he doesn't have power to forgive it. He does have power to forgive it. He's saying to you tonight, you ought to come. And by the way, you're never too young to serve the Lord. Young people, I warn you, we pray for our youth leaders here tonight, our youth officers. But I warn you as young people, don't get dabbling in sin and get out in the world and try to think that you can hold on to the world by one hand and hold on to the church by the other and hold on to the Lord by the other. The Lord knows which side you're on. He knows if you're following Him or not. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. And if you don't know that you're right with God, and trust me, there'll be times in your life when you'll lay your head on your pillow at night and you'll know because God will touch your heart and the Lord will deal with your heart because you're not ready to go. You're not ready to meet the Lord. Your sins are not under the blood. I'm telling you, I don't care what you're guilty of. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all of our sin. There is power to save you. Whosoever will, let him come. Then finally, the source of salvation. Look unto me. Why? Because he says, plain and simple, for I am God, and there is none else. Don't look for another one. He's the only one. He's the only one that has the power to save you and change your life. He's the God that can do anything. He's the God that can change your life forever. But you've got to look to God. You can't look to the preacher. You can't look to the leaders. People will let you down. The best of people will let you down. Not even meaning to. They'll let you down. But I think I can say with all assurance, make you this promise on the authority of God's Word. The Lord will never let you down. He'll never fail you. He'll be with you always. He's there in the darkness of night. He's there when nobody else can get there. Todd was talking about his experience this morning. And for many of you that go back for years of the church, you remember they had him in an isolation ward. Just a limited amount of people, very limited amount of people could get in there and work. Those teams would stay around the clock when they were registered to work there because they couldn't risk contamination of disease coming in. And there were times that nobody could get in that room with him. But I'll guarantee you, Todd, the Lord was right there. He's always there. Doesn't matter where you go, He's there. Watching out for you. Why would He do it? He's God. And there is none else. Compare Him to any other religion you want to. You'll never find one like this. I'm reminded of a story I heard years ago. There was a fella lived in an old shack. Wasn't worth anything. He'd worked hard and done the best he could. He didn't have a job that he made much money. God had blessed him with this little old shack. His wife had died. He was all alone. The kids had grown up and they were gone. And that area around where he lived was absolutely growing. I mean, exponentially, it was growing by leaps and bounds. They were buying up property everywhere. This multi-millionaire wanted that shack. So he said, if I go and see him, he might recognize me, know that I'm a millionaire. So what I'll do is I'll send one of my agents to go over and try to negotiate a deal. Well, the agent went over and knocked on his door and said, sir, have you been here several years? He said, yes, the better part of my life. He said, do you live here alone? Yes, I live alone. It's just me. No one else is here. And he said, well, you know, we would really like to purchase this house. And he said, before you answer yes or no, let me tell you what we'd be willing to pay. And he told him a sum of money that was more than he'd ever made in his lifetime for that parcel of ground and that old shack. And he looked at him and he said, are you kidding me? He said, no. That's what you'll get paid for it if you want to sell it. He agreed that he would sell the house. They surveyed the land, set up the day to have a closing. They came to his home to close on the property, laid the papers down in front of him. They showed him where that he could sign. And when he looked down and at it, he said, you know, before I sign this, he said, I have to admit I feel a little guilty. He said, don't you know that this place isn't worth that? He said, I know what I paid for this place. I know what it's worth. He said, do you realize you're giving me way more than what this is worth? The agent looked at it and said, well, sir, you've got to understand. The person that's buying this is not buying this for what it's worth. He's buying it for what it's worth when he finishes with it and what he's going to put on it. Why does God save us? He doesn't save us because of what we're worth. He saves us because He knows what He's going to put in us. And He knows what we're going to be worth at the end of all of it. We may not be worth a whole lot right now, but when He finishes with us, thank God, that's the difference then. I don't know what you can say about it, but I have to say, I am so happy. Thank God that I got saved. I've never regretted one day of living for the Lord. I'm sure I've disappointed Him many times, but I've never one day regretted giving my life to Christ. And I'm glad He saw in me what nobody else could see, including myself. And He said, I know you're not worth it in your eyes, but you don't see what I'm going to do for you. And by the way, if you're here lost tonight, you haven't seen the other side of the story yet. If you want to see the difference, you come to the Lord. And then you'll witness the difference that takes place. And you know what you can say? Thank God, I sure am glad I got saved.